On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by your friends at Insurance Journal. And today I'm chatting with Brian Leppard, who's Distribution Best Practices Manager with Foremost up there in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan area. And welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it.
Well, yeah, and glad to have you, and glad that I found out that that you were spearheading your group, but particularly you, a project that has to do with the agency customer experience. And customer experience is a relatively new concept in general, and certainly in the insurance industry. A lot of organizations, a lot of insurance carriers in particular, have customer experience projects underway where they're trying to get more inside the head of the customer as opposed to doing things the insurance industry way. How do things look from the customer, actually the prospect and then the customer experience? What is the world that they're living in, and how can we be more attractive to them as a prospect, but also as a customer? And then what I thought was interesting too, for you guys, Brian, is that you're going a step further and partnering almost as a consultant would with a particular local independent agent, and building out a customer experience process specific for them. But there's lessons there, obviously lessons, otherwise you wouldn't have done it just for one, but lessons for many agents in terms of their taking a look at their customer experience. So with that as an intro, let me ask you, maybe I should back up and have you explain more what customer experience is, in particular something you raised with me, which is design thinking.
Sure, Peter. So I appreciate the lead into it. And yeah, I think from an insurance industry standpoint, I think customer experience is certainly something that's, you know, you can't open an industry publication or go to a trade show without that being one of the lead topics. And I think for good reason. I hope independent agents and small business owners are as bought into this concept as we are on the carrier side. Because I think what's exciting about CX is that this is where small business owners and independent agents can win, and it's where we have control. You know, I think about historically when I was an agent and I sold policies, and you're going back a decade, price, coverage, underwriting acceptability, you know, those were the big levers, and in a lot of ways, those aren't in the control of the small business owner or the independent agent. The thing that has me excited about CX is really that is entirely our control, how we answer the phones, the processes we use to move customers through renewal, through claims. You know, I think this is where small business owners, independent agents with boots on the ground can win. I think customer experience, to me, it's about who knows the customer best, not who has the biggest tech, not who's got the best website. I think a lot of times you get caught up in thinking that customer experience is about websites. I think that's kind of been driven by the fact that tech providers have been the first people to the customer experience party, right? The Amazons of the world recognize that, the Zappos of the world recognize that before a lot of us did, and built their processes around it. But it doesn't have to be websites. It really, I think what it is that those companies just know their customers best. And I would argue that from an insurance standpoint, nobody knows their customers better than the independent agent does. They are the ones with that level of deep knowledge. Insurance agents have those relationships. So I hope people are excited about customer experience. I want people not to see this as company talking points or industry talking points, but as an opportunity for all of us to really win. And so that's my stump speech on why I think we should be excited about this. And so then when I talked about design thinking, kind of to me how this connects is at some point you have to put some tools and some processes in to build great customer experience. You can't just dream it into reality. It's not about being friendlier, although friendly certainly helps. You have to have simple tools and processes. And the great customer experience providers, they got there using design tools and processes. So I think, like, Peter, as an industry, we sometimes kind of get caught in what I would think of as kind of a knowing-doing gap, where everyone knows that IAs need to focus on delivering great customer experience, but I don't hear a lot of conversation around how we do it. I walk in my office on Monday, I got a staff meeting with everybody at 9 o'clock, and I know we need to get better, so what are we doing? I don't hear a lot of that. So I think that's where I think the opportunities are, and that's what this pilot with this local independent agent was about. It was about saying, let's not just come in and talk about customer experience. Let's come in and really help them design for the customers that they have, really understand their customers better. So I think, like, where agents and my agency were is kind of this customer service orientation, where, you know, customers are expressing needs all the time. I bought a new car. My wife says I need life insurance. My daughter just turned 16. Those are all expressed needs, and you react to those. So that's customer service. Somebody has a need, I take care of it. And what customer experience is really about for folks who are listening to this, you know, at a very high level, in my opinion, is it's about latent needs. It's about understanding what your customers are wanting or will want to do that they either won't articulate to you, haven't yet articulated to you, or in a lot of cases can't articulate to you because they don't even know it yet. A company like Amazon, I'll use them as the example. I think one of the things that they do that takes the most money out of my wallet is anticipating what I'll need to buy based on what I just bought. So if I bought a tent, they're really good at showing me sleeping bags that work well inside that tent. And that to me is that CX, where it turns from service to experience of saying, I know you so well that I can give you what you want before you even know that you want it. So I think, like, at a high level, that's my CX piece.
Okay.
We have to demystify it and bring some practical tools to people to do this stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty amazing how the world's largest retailer has no inventory. I wonder the long term ramifications for the industry if that's the consumer experience we're setting up. I think it's really a good thing that you guys are paying attention to this. But can you talk a little bit more about the local independent agent and what you have going, to the extent you can share some of the insights, what you're getting out of it, what they're getting out of it?
So maybe let me just start by kind of going and laying out a little bit of the process. So if folks have done some design thinking stuff before, this isn't proprietary foremost stuff. This is tools right off the shelf. If you haven't done this before, it might sound a little fluffy, a little squishy, but it definitely is built with a purpose. So we've used these kind of tools and techniques on our side internally to do some things for agents. My team and another team, our strategy integration reporting group, partnered on kind of reimagining the production report experience. Pretty much every company on Earth walks into an IA with a production report, and one of the insights that we gained from traveling and visiting with agents is that without the salesperson there to decode them, they're pretty impenetrable. Our estimate would be that about 80% of the numbers that are on there don't ever get looked at. So we used some tools to kind of look in at our own stuff and say, how can we completely reimagine this experience for an agent? And we were able to develop something that's entirely visual. It was called by one agent the Production Report for Dummies. And they meant that in a very complimentary way, that anybody could pick it up and read it. So kind of these light bulbs started going on for us about saying, how could we take these tools that we use to do this, and what would happen if we showed an agent how to do it? What would happen to their business? So we went out and we created a partnership with an agency, a relationship with an agency here, very close to our campus, great agency, and said, will you let us come be a guest in your business? Can we come, like you said, Peter, can we come in there like a consultant? And we don't know what we're doing, right? We're testing these things. We haven't done this before. We want to just try things. and see if we can help you get closer to your customer. And they've been gracious enough to let us work with them for almost a year now. And so they set a goal for themselves going into this process. They said, we want to target retention. We want to raise our overall agency retention by 2 points. And like I said, it's a great agency. They have strong retention already. So, you know, definitely they had high hopes for what we'd be able to achieve. And so we looked at what they wanted to get out of it, and we built a five-phase process. So the first thing we said we would do is we will build and facilitate a survey for you of your customers and your own staff. And we leveraged our own market research team here at Foremost to do that, who helped us do that. So we managed everything for them from constructing and sending the email to writing the survey to analyzing the results. And then we paired that up with an overview, a look through with our data science team at their entire customer book of business, not just Foremost, but everybody. So we said, let's start at the beginning. Let's do that research. And then once we know more about your customers, let's take your own internal staff and let's develop something called personas. So let's take what the research has told us and let's get 3, 4, 5 of your staff members in a room and let's look at all the customers you have and decide what are the 3, 4, 5, 6 personality archetypes that are really jumping out in this survey data. What are the customer groups that are really jumping out? Because what that really allows us to do is start to build experiences that meet the needs of these different types of customers. I think for any agent that's listening, right, you've got your group of folks who are price conscious, that are cash payers. You've got your group of folks that you'll never talk to them unless by email. You've got all these different groups, and it's hard to build for an agency full of customers, but these personas really let you focus in on just those different types of clients you have. And we said, let's take those different types of clients and let's map their journey through your agency. So what is the experience of being a customer at your agency, whether it's the claims process, the renewal process, the new business process? A lot of agencies that I'll visit, all of their processes are tribal knowledge. It's all in people's heads. And so what this does is it takes that and it puts it down on paper, and then it adds another layer to it, and it says, if you're this persona, what is that process experience like? Where are the things that make you really excited to be an insured? And where are the things that make you feel less valuable than you ought to? And we took all that stuff, and we sat down with them. We said, okay, now, based on the research, the personas, and the journeys, what are all the pain points we found here? What are all the possible solutions that might exist? And we started to kind of brainstorm and vote on some of these things and say, are there quick wins now? Before we go any further, are there quick wins that we might elevate immediately to start acting on? And once we'd done that, we said, let's go to the fourth phase. Let's go find out if this make-believe world that we wrote down based on what we know, let's find out how real our perception is. And this is the phase we're getting to now, which is actually going out and interviewing some of their customers for them and videotaping that and bringing it back and saying, you as an agency think that this is what it's like to be a customer here, but here's what your customers are telling an independent third party about what that experience is like. And so that would be kind of where we are in the process. So our aspiration would really be to validate all of these personas and journeys and really completely change the way this agency thinks about their customers by hearing directly from these folks about what that experience is like. And once we're done with that, we'll kind of go through another round of this brainstorming, idea generation, and voting, and just kind of keep working through that cycle. And really, I think we hope that we can start to help this agency build kind of around the inputs from directly from customers, insights directly from their frontline staff, and really build this agency kind of around why their customers choose this agency in the first place, as opposed to that service orientation of when a customer calls to add a new vehicle, do we make it easy? I think we want to reorient it and say, why did they come to you in the first place? So that would be my high-level kind of look at what the process has been.
Yeah, you know, you said it earlier about how agents, you know, they get a call and they react. Matter of fact, I'd even go a step further and say that when agents say they give great service, and you start to ask questions about that, they'll say things like, "We answer the phone on two rings, you know, within two rings," or, and I look at that as like reacting really fast. In other words, customer experience, the understanding that is actually being proactive, suggesting things when the customer doesn't expect it, or delighting them in some way with something that they hadn't thought of, and makes them think about additional coverages as opposed to just reacting. So this is kind of, not kind of, this is like a real change in attitude for agency owners and principals and folks that work in the agency, the service teams. But the truth is that it's really a win all around, because when you have happier customers, it's got to start with happier employees, but they're doing things for people that are the right things to do, ultimately leading to happier customers, more referrals, stronger retention. It's not like it's a nice to have or a little project. I mean, this is kind of important, especially given the evolution of the customer and how they are now in control more than ever over our industry. The consumer is. So we've got to get inside their heads more. But I think ultimately it's the right thing to do. Anyway, that's not really a question, Brian.
No,
I'm just validating what you're saying.
I agree with you. I think that customers' expectations are not static. They're going to continue to evolve. And I think that a process like this, it's not going to take you from service to experience finito. You're done, right? It'll take you from a service orientation to an experience orientation. And as the customer continues to evolve as rapidly as they are, it'll continue to empower you to know them better than anybody else in town. If the average IA is competing with the other IAs in town, this will give you a competitive advantage to know your customer better than anybody else does. And so I think that, to me, that the exciting part about this isn't a finished, you won't go through these five steps and say, great, you know, we're all set, good, put it on the shelf for another 5 years. It'll always be that cycle of making sure that you know your customers better than anyone else does in your neighborhood, in your city, what have you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, What were some of the, maybe you could talk to some of the things that maybe you validated or confirmed what was going on, or maybe even some surprises as you started talking to these customers. Are there any nuggets you can share? I know you're still in the middle of doing this, or maybe you're near the end of now, but what's been occurring with the research with this one particular agency?
Yeah, so great question, and of course I'm excited to kind of talk to a few of these things. And so we went through that first phase I talked about, that quantitative research, that data analysis. We got to the end of that, and the agency vice president said to us, and we've made it very clear to them this whole time, like, you know, if we ever do something and you say, you know what, it was a fun time, guys, from Foremost, it was a wacky experiment, but, you know,
yeah.
we got business insurance renewals breathing down our neck on 1-1, so it's time to call it a day. So we got to the end of that first phase, and we delivered our findings, and they said, if we never went any further than this, this was already so valuable. What we brought to them was a whole new way to look at their client base, just a host, I mean, more than you'd ever want, of customer verbatims from these surveys. One of the things that was baked into the survey was the ability just for the customers to freeform things that they like, things that they don't like. And I mean, just the amount of unfiltered feedback we got was just astounding. So across the agency, we sent about 3,000 of these surveys. Because like, I think like a lot of agencies, they have an email deficit where their agency is actually a lot bigger than that. But when we really weeded through it and looked at valid email addresses, we sent about 3,000, and the response rate from customers was about 12%. So I'm not aware of any effort from a company to survey policyholders in that way before. So we didn't really know what to expect, but 12% is fantastic. It's about 3 or 4x what we would anticipate, you know, broadly.
Yeah. That's
and
good.
Overall, their customers, really, really positive feedback and very likely to recommend. So the first thing we learned right off the bat was, you know, there's a reason their retention is so high. But when we dug into it, it was interesting. So it really revealed, and this is why I've been talking so much about proactive and reactive, some really interesting CX opportunities related to communication. So one of the questions we asked, just look for satisfaction with my agent across 8 metrics. And for 6 of those metrics, really, really high marks, there were 2 metrics that had still good, but a much, much lower mark. So we're asking 2 things out of the 8. One is, you know, my agent adequately communicates information related to new products and services. And then we ask, my agent makes me feel like a valued customer. And we're not asking these in relation to each other. They're just, you know, distinct questions. And what we found was that of the customers who rate communication, proactive communication very highly, 94% of those people are very likely to feel valued as customers, just to say that they do. And then on the flip side, what was interesting is when we looked at the correlation, customers who rate communication poorly, 83% of them say they're highly unlikely to say they feel like a valued customer. So we're starting to see this really interesting connection between people who think they're being communicated to feel valued and people who don't feel valued. And then we asked, how likely are you to recommend the agency to a friend or family member? And what's interesting then is those same customers who then don't feel valued are really, really unlikely to say they'll refer to friends and family. So probably, Peter, I think that probably makes intuitive sense to anybody who's in the industry, right?
Right.
You could probably assume that connection is true, but I think what was really interesting was we sort of, for this agency, for their customers, proactive communication equals feeling valued, which then leads people to refer. And so I think being able to say to the agency that this is how their own customers are rating you and feeling was entirely different than saying, as an industry, we know that communication, proactive communication is important. So we were able to really boil it down to just this agency. And then two other things really jumped out at us in this analysis, and they kind of connect to this. One of these is that annual reviews are occurring with a lot lower percentage of customers than what said in the survey that they desired them. We kind of gave some different options in terms of how frequently you want to review your policy. So this agency, the analysis that we did shows that 26% of their customers had a review in the last year, but just under 70% of customers say, yeah, I'd like to talk to somebody every year. And then what you see is people are saying the same thing in the verbatim comments. So it's not an anomaly in the survey response. You're also seeing people in the verbatim comments saying, I don't know when the last time was I talked to my agent. And again, this isn't everybody in the agency, but it's starting to develop enough of a pattern that you wonder what's going on. And then we see again in the verbatims, you're seeing comments around CSA transitions. So when the alphabet split changes, when someone is fired or leaves the agency and a new person is hired, see, again, you're seeing another opportunity here where there's a journey for the customer where they change CSAs and they don't know who it is, they don't know why it happened. And so these are just, I think, starting to come out in the data, some really interesting metrics about what that reactive communication orientation might be creating, you know, for this agency. So that was kind of up in the survey piece. And then when we brought their staff in and said, okay, now tell us about the people who are your customers. Build these personas. It was a really, really powerful moment where we've got about 4 or 5 staff members sitting around a table. And the exercise that we do is we put about 20 pictures of people out on the table. And we say, as a group, pick one of these people that represents a customer you talk to every day. And then they have a discussion, and they look them over, and they pick out a woman that they named Margie. And we said, okay, what type of customer is this? And they start to build her story a little bit. And one of the CSAs that we had in, she said, you know who this is? She points, and she's thoughtful. And she says, this is the neglected customer. This is the customer we never get to talk to. She always pays her bills because we're talking to everybody else that calls every day with the same problem. And then we had this moment where what we're hearing in the survey feedback, what we're seeing in the data, the staff themselves are already intuitively aware that there's this whole portion of customers that just doesn't get the communication that they needed. And so I thought that was a really interesting moment where you started to pair this stuff together and say, what would be the ramifications on the customer experience if we built a process that made sure that somebody like Margie got a phone call or got an email or got whatever that thing is that she would tell us she wants. That would be really interesting. So then we yeah. took those personas and we mapped them across the renewal journey in both agencies to start to understand through the eyes of the CSAs, what is the process and what is somebody like Margie experiencing in these agencies? And again, a whole lot of other interesting stuff starts to surface that probably everybody in the agency knows it. But without these design tools, have they really connected the dots of what this externally creates as an experience? So we found that in this agency, renewal contact is really predicated only on price. So if you have a price increase above X, you get a contact. But if you don't, you don't. And so you kind of go back into the overall communication pattern or maybe no communication, which then kind of, as we talked about it, this really predisposes that CSA to really make that annual review just about price, not about the experience. And then we started to talk about, well, when you deliver that better price, right? You've called that person and you've shown them the better price. What are you presenting? And then we're finding out that, well, what we do is we present the new best price. And you said, well, what's your value as an independent agent? It's really the ability to shop across a variety of carriers. Do you ever show them all the work you did, right? Peter, like, do you ever show your homework and say, I quoted 7 companies because that's what I can do, and here's the best one. And that doesn't happen. There's no process in place to show them just how much value, exists in that relationship. And then when we started to peel back the onion a little bit more, there are actually 2 agencies under this umbrella in the agency, and we found that one agency has a dedicated renewal specialist, when the other agency has a team of CSAs who work their own renewals. And lo and behold, you find that the agency with the dedicated specialist is the one with the better retention. And these survey verbatims all support the people love being contacted by this one individual. So there's a ton there, and I know I'm throwing a lot out there, but it's just interesting as you really kind of go through some of these processes. The people who work in the agency knew all this already. They really just, I don't think, had seen it through this lens of CX, if you will. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's so true of so many things, isn't it? Where you have this intuitive feeling that something is right or wrong, but you're sort of just going through the motions. I mean, agencies are busy places, and people are busy. This is an opportunity to kind of step back and just take a time out from the madness and say what can we do? So to that point, let me ask you, most of the agents in this country won't have the luxury of having a partner like Foremost to walk them through this. I know you're just doing an experiment. There's going to be more coming out of in this from your research. But if I'm listening and I'm not really sure what to do, I don't understand this terminology like CX or design thinking, et cetera, how can an agency at least start to learn? I've always said that even having an informal customer advisory group where you sit and talk about, even if they're your very best customers, they tell you some things. Obviously, what you're describing is a much deeper dive and I think very valuable. But what can agents do to even some basic ways to start to learn more about their customers?
Sure. So a great question, and I think I'm glad you're holding me to that, because I think I started by talking about how we can't just talk about it. We have to actually do it and give practical tools. And so I think the first thing, my advice would be, it's okay to get started somewhere with any of this, from personas to surveys. A quick Google search on design thinking and surveys and personas and journey maps will yield an incredible amount of just free insight on what these tools are and what they can do. So just something as simple as SurveyMonkey as a vehicle to survey your agents, or maybe even your management system has something rooted in it that can allow this kind of functionality. So I don't want to present any of these things as things that you need an expert with from the company side, or a consultant with a huge hourly rate to come in and do these things. Anybody can do these things. We started doing them here at Foremost because they made sense to us. Not because of a mandate. It's just really through the grassroots efforts of people kind of trying to experiment and learn these tools, and agents can absolutely do that. But I think if you're looking for the one place, if I said to somebody, here's where I'd start, I think the first thing I would really recommend anybody, and you and I actually, we kind of corresponded about this a little bit for a conversation we had for IA Magazine, was really just talk to your customers, but do it in a little different way. I would really kind of recommend customer interviews, and with maybe two types of customers. So if somebody's looking to get started and just dip their toe in the water, what I'd really recommend to anybody is find a customer in your book of business that you never hear from, the Margie from our example earlier, the neglected customer, and ask them to grab a cup of coffee with you and don't talk about insurance. Just listen to what their experience is. It's not about coverages. It's not about price. Ask them why they chose your agency in the first place. Ask them why they stay. And ask them what they hope to get out of their relationship with an insurance agent. And then I would flip it, and I'd find somebody that just left my agency, and maybe somebody that you never talked to that wouldn't give you a chance to win their business, and see if they'll sit down with you for a cup of coffee. And the same kinds of questions. You know, why did you choose me in the first place, and why did you leave? And I would bring those insights back and talk to your staff, or if you're an office manager, you know, talk to your personal line team, your commercial line team, and first ask them the same questions. Why do people choose our agency? Why do they stay? Why do they leave? And then share what you've heard. That can be something that you can put together, something like that, in a week. It doesn't require any systems, any investment, any specific knowledge on personas, whiteboards, post-it notes, none of that stuff. I think people would be surprised how many insights you can uncover in just an hour conversation with your customer when it's not service-oriented, when the lens is not adding a vehicle or raising a deductible, when the lens is, why did you choose me in the first place? There's a lot of names on Google. You drive by a lot of other shingles. Why me? I think that's where I would tell people to get started. And if you do that, I think you'll start to uncover insights, you'll gain a little confidence, and you might start to incorporate some of these other tools. I think that's where I'd recommend people get going.
That's great advice, Brian. Thank you. And there's more to come, I'm sure. We'll want to stay in touch with you on this project. I know that there are organizations like the IAABA through ACT, Agents Council for Technology. They have customer experience work going to try to map some of this from prospect to renewal and so on. But the way you broke this down was really helpful, and I think any agent can have that conversation in a coffee shop with those two types of customers, and maybe get excited about what they learn, you know, and maybe have more processes down the road. So thanks for that. And for folks that would like to get in touch with Brian, we're going to share his email address. It's brian.leppard, and Leppard is spelled LEPPARD at foremost.com. brian.leppard@foremost.com. Brian, can't thank you enough. I wish you all the best. That's a very fortunate agency to have the expertise of your teams there, and really looking forward to learning more from what you're learning.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share the work. We're very passionate about it at Foremost, and absolutely the goal of this is to develop tools that can be shared across the industry with all IAs to continue to improve our experience. So again, thank you so much for the opportunity.
You betcha, Brian. Thanks.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.